Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. There's something going on in RTE today. There's something happening. There's a lot of people going around in Christmas jumpers and those antlers that you put on, you know, the headbands with the antlers and all sorts of things. It seems to be a buzz around the place. There must be something happening. Nobody's told me. Of course, I know what the Late Late Toy Show is on tonight. The whole world stops. And it is, because it's been broadcast all over the world. I'm just looking at details from the RT player. Vancouver, New York, London, Paris. Sounds like a song. Madrid, Dubai. So if you're in Auckland, right, if you're in Auckland in New Zealand, you'll be watching the toy show on Saturday morning, live. See, that'll mess with your head. Say that to the young ones tonight. Sydney, 8:30 tomorrow morning. They'll be watching it live. Saturday morning, as opposed to Friday night. Anyway, whatever way you're watching it, and I believe there's a cinema in Galway showing it on the big screen. There's so much involved, isn't there? Emotions and nostalgia and the memories and how we used to watch it all those years ago and that buzzer thing. Remember, that was my favourite bit where Gay Byrne would get three people down from the audience and they'd have to do that. And they'd go, and of course, they'd be nervous. They're on national television. They're standing beside Gay Byrne. And then he goes, will you get that ring and make sure you can do it around there? If you do it, we'll give you a prize. And they're going, yeah, here we go. Thanks, Gay. I could do it at home, Gay. I could do it at home very easily. And then the other person goes, yeah. And now, of course, which is as it should be, it's about the children and not about the adults coming down from the audience and making fools of themselves. Although I'm sure that'll happen as well a bit tonight. Anyway, you know where it is. You know when it's on. You know how to watch it, and you've all the provisions in, jellies and popcorn and snooties and all sorts of things. They're things you wear, not you eat. Just for your information, a snoodie, it's a sort of a thing with a hood and it's all fleecy. It's sort of the nocturnal version of the dry robe. I think that's a good way to describe it. Now, that is on tonight, but I can tell you now, and we're very excited about the fact that we have our own little Christmas show as well. Yeah, we do. Yeah. 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 We're very excited, very excited. It's happening on the 9th of December, and it's Christmas at the Castle, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be overlooking the courtyard in Dublin Castle. There'll be loads of live music, wonderful guests, mulled wine, mince pies, few surprises. There might even be an elf there. Could Santa arrive? We don't know. Anyway, we're looking for you to arrive on the day. We're looking for an audience. We're going to be in the Bedford Hall, pure posh, which will be festooned with tinsel and baubles and lights and Christmas trees. So if you'd like to come along and join us, and the Christmas market will be ongoing in the courtyard of Dublin Castle, we'd love to have you there. So it's the 9th of December. Available from 2 o'clock. Oh, we'll go back and get a bit more of that. Thanks, I like that. So available from 2 o'clock. And if there's a little form you have to fill out, rte.ie/radio/radio1/Ray. It's a lot of words there. So it's there anyway. If you go to our page, you'll find it. Fill that in and we'd love to see you on the day. We'll have about 50, 60, 70 people there. And as I say, mulled wine, mince pies, wonderful guests and a few surprises along the way. Christmas at the Castle. That's going to be nice, isn't it? And today, it's nice, really, that the toy show's on today because it's the 25th of November, 1 month away from the 25th of December, which, as you know, is Christmas Day. So we can unapologetically talk about everything Christmassy today. And the talk, as it always does, because of Bing Crosby, are we dreaming or dreading a white Christmas? And it's time we can talk about it. So we put a call in to Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather. And we asked him, what are the possibilities, Alan, of a white Christmas? Hello, Alan.
Hi, Ray. Well, it's a month to Christmas and it's only 6 days to the real start of winter, the 1st of December. And it does look like we're going to have some high pressure building and some colder air in the east might start making its way towards Ireland. Might be a little bit too soon for Christmas Day, and it's really impossible to forecast this far out. But if we get that high pressure up to the north and we get some cold air coming in from the east, who knows, we could see a return of the 2010 snow, because that was the last time we had a white Christmas, 2010 in Ireland. We do see one on average every 6 to 6.5 years, so we're long overdue by Christmas. But unfortunately, just like the lot of numbers for this weekend, it's just too hard to predict for now. So maybe if you are dreaming of a white Christmas, just keep the fingers and toes crossed.
Thanks, Alan. We will do that. So we're due one. That's the good news. When you look at the statistics, we're due a white Christmas. And rte.ie/Ray will get you there to the application form for our Christmas in the Castle show on the 9th of December. We're all really looking forward to that and really looking forward to be in your company. A lot of anniversaries around today. The Cure are celebrating the 30th anniversary of Wish, their album, 30 years ago. This was the big hit from it. Friday, I'm in Love. And Cure fans are very excited because they're here next Thursday, December 1st. Robert. No, he's not coming in there. We just play the intro. That'll be fine. And also, here's an interesting one, actually. Atari, you know, the computer games people, they're celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. What I didn't know was they had a number of plants in Ireland back in the 70s. So they assembled and made various aspects, the domestic ones and the ones you get in your down your local chipper as well. So they had a plant in Tipperary town. They had a plant in Ardfinnan in Tipperary. And that's second mention in 2 days because we had Cara Darmody on yesterday. She won Munster Young Carer of the Year and she's from Ardfinnan. And they also had a place in County Limerick. So the three plants all in the 70s and the 80s, Atari did. Now, it passed me by. I don't know, I was out playing sports or chasing girls or something like that. I can't remember exactly what I was doing when everybody else was on their Atari. But they gave me two sound effects here from Atari games. Wow, that gave me a headache. That's Centipede. And this... Stop. That's Mission Command or even Missile Command. Now, here's a coincidence. There's a party in our house tonight and I discovered this thing. Maybe you've discovered it before, but it's a sort of a DIY karaoke setup. So all you need is a smart TV, right? Spotify, a Bluetooth speaker and a cheap microphone. Is that a lot? Probably sounds like a lot, but it's not. So what you do is you put Spotify onto your telly and then you select the lyrics. So the lyrics play and then you connect the telly to your Bluetooth speaker, which will have a microphone. You can buy them in Harvey Norman's. And there you go. Hey presto, you have karaoke. And that's what's happening in our house tonight. And the coincidence is that Billboard have just released the 100 top karaoke songs. Now, Billboard, they're an American website and magazine, so it is quite skewed towards American songs. But let's have a listen to some of the top karaoke songs in America. John and Kiki D, great duet karaoke song, yes, as is this one. In the shallow, in the shallow, in the shallow. Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, Shallow. And the power ballads, you have to have a power ballad if you're going to do karaoke. At number two in Billboard's top 100 karaoke songs of all time is this. Tell me why ain't nothing but a party. Tell me why ain't nothing but a mistake. Tell me why I never wanna. Thank you, Backstreet Kids, and at number one. Here we go.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Shania Twain. Yeah, what about Ireland's top karaoke songs? That'll work. Yeah, Bewitched. Honorary mentions must go to... Thanks, Gloria. And it'd be a brave man or woman who'd volunteer to karaoke. Is that how you say it? Is that the verb? Karaoke this.
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let me go.
We will not let you go.
Let me go.
We will not let you go.
Let me go.
Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub. The devil put aside for me, for me, for me.
Yeah, there you go. That's the one. Bohemian Rhapsody. Straight in there, Eileen says, what song are you going to karaoke tonight yourself, Ray? Well, I've been thinking about this because you're always called on, aren't you? And I can't sing. I can shout and talk and all that sort of thing. So the next time, which will be tonight, I'm asked to sing a song and karaoke, I'm going to do this one. You see what I'm... You see? You can talk it. You can talk it. Woo! Or shout it.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Okay, I'm off. So there you go. We always do Sonny Don't Go Away by Mary Black, says that person. Could you repeat how to get tickets for your Christmas in the Castle for tonight, December? Eleanor wants to know. If you go to rte.ie/Ray, there's a very simple application form there. Couldn't even call it an application form. Just fill in your details and tell us if you have a favourite Christmas memory so we can talk to you on the day. And then ask you how many people you're going to bring, all that sort of thing. It's there, rte.ie/Ray. And we're going to have about 60, 70 people there. We played Pac-Man non-stop in the 90s on the Atari, says somebody else. Now, we're remembering the late, great, legendary Joe Dolan today in the company of his nephew and his brother. And just to get you in the humour and maybe to stir up some of those Joe Dolan memories, we'll kick off the show today with this. Good afternoon. Yeah, Joe Dolan and his brother Ben and his nephew Ray are joining us in about 10 minutes' time to remember the great man from Mullingar. The great man from Mullingar. Now, we better tell you about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock on this Friday afternoon and answer 3 questions on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And there is a prize, yes. It's a 2-night stay for 2 in Dublin's Hard Rock Hotel with a bottle of bubbly awaiting you on arrival. And of course, you're right smack in the middle of Dublin city centre. You can take advantage of the January sale, spend those fabulous Christmas vouchers, or just soak up all the capital has to offer. They have loads of deals going on there, the Material Girl package. And then they have their iconic Sound of Your Stay programme with a personalised playlist. There's also the choice of a record player and a selection of vinyl in your room, or you can have a Fender guitar and an amp, or maybe you can have both and do a sort of a guitar karaoke type thing. Anyway, hardrockhotel.com, hardrockhotel.com for more information. Here is your qualifying question. What television extravaganza takes place tonight on RTE1? What television extravaganza takes place tonight on RTE1? 0818715925, 0818715925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Ben Dolan, how are you?
Very good.
Good to see you.
Very good, yes.
Ray Dolan, how are you?
Very good, Ray.
You'll have to come into that microphone. Sorry, you know what a microphone
pardon.
Is.
Yes, beg your pardon. Yeah. Yes, hello,
now,
Ray.
Now, Ray, you are, well, Joe Dolan was your uncle, so you are his nephew.
Correct, and right, yeah.
Ben, you, Joe Dolan's brother.
I'm Joe Dolan's brother, and I'm his father.
You're his father, yes. Yeah. Right, so we've all the relationships.
And you're Ray.
I'm Ray. What? Two Rays and a Ben. Two Rays and a Ben.
One time, Ray, are we on?
We are on, yeah, we're on. That's a good start, Ben. We're so relaxed. I know. Yeah. Yeah, we're broadcasting to the nation. Go on, what are we going to say?
No, we're talking about my son, and he's this and that. Yeah. I had a brother, Paddy, who used to run dances down in Longford one time, but he was on the door. But this one came up. We were playing at in the place, and this one came up to the door, and Paddy says, "No, full price." They says, "Oh, no, and half price, and it's nearly over." "No." And one turned around, and she says, "Come on, that's Joe Dolan's old effing father. He won't let you in for nothing."
So Joe Dolan's your dad was on the door?
No, he was Uncle Joe's Paddy. Brother.
Oh, Joe's brother, yes. So now let's get the age thing. Were you the older, younger?
Well, I was, Joe's the youngest.
Right.
And then we had Vincent and then me. I was the third youngest.
And how many in the family?
Well, there was eight, there was nine of us really. We lost a fella at 4 year old.
Okay.
But there was eight of us that.
And what was the breakdown, boys and girls?
Well, we had three ladies.
Yeah.
And the rest of them were boys. As you know.
Yeah. And Joe came along then, the youngest. And was the family always musical?
Well, I mean, there was always, maybe the sisters used to be with, I don't know, in the head of operas in Mullingar,
right.
And that type of thing.
Gilbert and Sullivan, light opera, yes.
The
musicals.
Musicals, yeah. And they'd be singing and they'd be practising at home. Mm. So it was kind of always there. It was more of a laugh than anything else, you know. It
wasn't serious, yeah.
Well, we never took it too serious.
Yeah. How many years now is Joel dead?
15, right. I think, now at Christmas.
Right.
You know, it was...
Yeah, we were down for the Fla in Mullingar. And not surprising, but there was a lot of people in Mullingar for the Fla.
There was?
And it's like a pilgrimage, isn't it, to the statue.
That's right.
The square.
That's right, yeah, in the square.
Yeah,
there, yeah.
And we were in people's way because there was cables and all sorts of things, and they were a little bit put out that we were there and that couldn't get a good look at Joe.
I know,
Yeah.
Well, no, everyone. Well, I mean, they still come to Mullingar, and we have the pub there in Mullingar, so they call in, even at all time. Yesterday, there was people there from Oma,
right.
And a couple of days before that, they were there from Claddy.
And I've never been in the pub. Is it like a shrine to Joe? Is there a lot of pictures?
There's photographs of me in the pub and that type of thing. But I just happen to be there. I don't. Most mornings, I go up at about 11 o'clock and I meet Seamus Casey, who was our manager for years.
Yeah.
And then I'd Peter Boyd is another one. And we drink two pots of tea and talk about the future and talk about the past.
You're mad joking.
The man shed.
Can you remember the first gig you did with Joe fronting the band?
Joe fronted the band. Well, I mean, we were playing about 2 years or 3 years before we decided who was the singer.
Right.
But I mean, it became very, very easy for me to do it, you know. I mean, we used to split it up between Joe and myself and the band. Like, that time, every member could sing a song and, you know, it was that way. But Joe, when Joe would sing a song, he had a great reception.
Mm.
And then when I'd sing a song, I wouldn't get much of a reception. But I discovered it was far better for him to keep singing.
You know,
and me to stand back and look important.
I'm sure you're good at that. I'm sure you're good at that, Ben. Yeah.
Well, you said that he had the X factor and you had the Max factor.
Well, yeah. That's there was no X factor at that time.
Yeah.
You know, but nowadays.
But he did. He had something.
He definitely. Oh no, he had it.
And you were gigging around Mullingar just locally first.
I mean, the first gig we played was at a place called Castledown Gagan, which is outside Mullingar. You know, we got £10 for the gig. But you know, at the time, only looking back, it was a good enough price.
Mm.
£10 is today.
Are we talking 50s or 60s?
January 1960.
1960?
Yeah, January.
Wow.
No, so it was all the 60s.
That's 62 years ago,
but
nearly
that time,
63.
The dances used to be a half a crown, which was, there was 8 half crowns in a pound.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And did you get a cut at the door or just a fee?
Oh, no. There was never a word of cut at the door.
No. That came later.
That was in the carpentry business. Yeah, no, that came later.
Yeah. Yeah. But later on, you would have got a percentage.
You might have got cut at the door. Yeah. Something didn't like you.
Yeah. So 1960 was the first gig, right?
It was the first gig, yeah.
Yeah. And at what stage did you realise that maybe this man, your youngest brother,
had
something that could go international?
I never dreamt of it going. You know what I mean? Neither did Joe. Joe was working. He was in the Examiner office. He got a job there.
Right.
Serving
what did
his
he
time,
do?
A compositor.
Oh yeah.
In there, and I was at the carpentry, and I was working in town as well at a carpenter shop. So that was where we're at, and it was just a pastime that we thought that we do it. We got a job. Well, we didn't actually get. I don't mean the first job, but before we started the band, there was a fella in town, he was a drummer, and he got a job, and he asked us to play with him on a night, and we did it in Killucan. We did it, and it was a wedding.
That's north of Maynooth, Killucan. North of Maynooth.
North of Maynooth.
Yeah, isn't it? It's up around there, isn't it? Yeah. Somewhere there. Is it in Offaly,
The bottom of Meath.
No, it's Meath. Meath, sorry, right.
Near Kinnegad.
Well, it's in Westmeath.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, but this is going well.
Yeah. We're keeping it in the county.
Apologies to anybody from Killucan there.
You can answer this question. How did you find your way to play the gigs?
How did you?
See, you're still stuck in Mullingar.
Because back in the day, you'd be going the country roads late at night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
country roads and hills,
yeah,
and bad slippy roads. Nothing used to be frost.
Mm.
We don't get that much at all now.
But will you tell the young people listening about the ballrooms, Ben?
Pardon?
Tell them about the ballrooms back in the day. You know, there were dry halls. There was no bar.
Oh, there was no bars.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Well, I mean, all the ladies used to go to the early.
Yeah,
they'd all be in early, and the fellas would be coming in. Well, I mean, if the dance started at 9 o'clock.
Mm.
You could say at 10 o'clock was nearly all the people that were in there were ladies.
Yes.
And then the fellas would ramble in after getting a couple of jars, probably.
Dutch courage, maybe.
Dutch courage, yeah. Correct.
Been working
later. Yeah. Oh, no, but in general, well, I don't know, but even myself, you know, you'd be very odd with women. Now, right. If you had a sister to dance with, you could stand at the wall all night and not chance asking anybody. Because the biggest problem was an insult if you were refused.
Oh, sure, don't
I
know.
I mean, it'd knock you back for an hour.
Yeah,
an hour, right. Yeah.
No, the reason I'm laughing is that Jackie, who's my older sister, she's a year older than me, we used to go down to the local hall and we'd dance together.
That's right.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
It sounds funny that if you didn't have a sister to dance with, you'd nobody to dance with. But that's
how you start.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And then you'd have a cousin or something like that. And then as soon as you get your feet going well, that you could walk over and ask a girl without her saying no thanks, you know. But I mean, it was all. Then you wind up not dancing with your sister.
Yeah.
And you go home and she say, you never dance with me tonight. You know?
I was there for you when you needed me.
You abandoned me. Yeah. Everyone can tell the same story.
Yeah, yeah. And those like I'm, you know, I was frequented the CYMS Hall. And Ray, you were there as well. People upstairs think I made up this place called the CYMS Hall.
The CYMS Hall was the first place that I danced in. And I mean, I wouldn't have been a dancer,
right.
But I used to go up to my cousins in Rathangan,
right,
and the Behans, and they'd say, "You going to the dance?" And I said, "I don't know." So you better have a wash for starters, the first thing. And I've no shirt, so I got the loan of a shirt off one of the cousins, and I got a pair of boots off another friend in as well. And off you went to the dance, and it was very, you ended up jumping around. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was getting a lot of exercise and the sweat was running down my back. And I thought I was a great lad.
Yeah.
And you go up there and you'd ask a girl to dance and she'd say, no. And I'm going, but I'm having a great time. How can you say not no?
More innocent times.
Yeah, there were, I suppose, you know. But.
So then Joe's character developed, his sort of persona, white suits, was that always there or was that a...
No. I mean, the white suit was just came in by chance, really. I mean, we had different colours.
Right.
I mean, we had red Seamus Casey, our manager, well, he wasn't our manager at the time, but we used to play in Edenderry, and he used to advertise us as the Red Devils of Entertainment with red suits. And they were made out, the suits were made out of red flannel.
Now, this is all factually true, ladies and gentlemen. We're not making this up. So the Red Devils of Entertainment. Right? Yeah.
But the suits were made out of red flannel.
Yeah.
Now, the weight of the red flannel, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, when the dances...
And then in one of those halls, there could be 1,000 people.
You'd be sweating. Before that, we'd be lucky to get 200 or 300.
Right,
now
okay.
Now I'm talking about, you know.
And I remember, the lad who managed the hall used to come on, and he'd introduce the band. So it'd be, you know, so he'd be saying, ladies and gentlemen, welcome along to CYMS Hall on this Saturday night. We're very proud that we have the Red Devils of Entertainment.
That was it. When we had, at that time...
Ah, there he is. There he is. Great voice.
He's
a great Joe, yeah.
Ah, he had a fantastic voice,
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, that's... And probably when he started recording and got all these songs going, I mean, it even brought him a step further on from... Like, up until that, most of the stuff that you're recording was cover versions. But when he started doing the original songs... That brought him into a new league altogether. You know, and we got all the tools.
Because he had a couple of hits in the UK, didn't he? What was the first hit?
Well, he had Make Me an Island was...
And did he appear on Top of the Pops at all?
We did.
You did, right?
Yeah. So he was on Top of the Pops. He was on Top of the Pops a couple of times that. And then the next one was Teresa. Like the one day he recorded Make Me an Island, Teresa... and Good Looking Woman in one session.
Uh-huh.
One day he did the three of those songs. But then that's the way they went out then. Teresa was the second one, and then Good Looking Woman.
A few years ago we had Albert Hammond in.
That's right.
And he wrote Make Me an Island.
He did.
And I asked him about it, and I asked him about, you know, Joe, and have a listen to this. Put on those headphones there and have a listen to this. Here we go. Albert Hammond.
Well, I was working for Radio Luxembourg and as a songwriter, and Jeffrey Everett, who was the head there when I wrote the song called Make Me an Island, based on the fact that Gibraltar, the border closed, and Gibraltar was made an island, you know, and I thought, what a great idea for a song.
So a man from Mullingar in Ireland had a hit with a song about Gibraltar.
Yeah, and he actually, I have pictures with him and my father and my sister in Gibraltar. He went there because I told him the story and he had to go there to feel it, you know. So, they made the record at Pi Records, and when I heard it, I was just—it was my second hit. My first was Little Arrows, but I mean, it was just great. I waited like 9 months. I felt like a woman having a baby. I waited 9 months for my second hit. You know,
and he had an amazing voice, Joe.
And he had an amazing voice, and he was a wonderful, wonderful guy. You know, so different eyes, different size, different girls every day, different names, different games, took my breath clean away, but I'm changed, rearranged, I'm enlightened, and how you have caught me, you have taught me, and I'm different now.
Take me.
I thought it was a love song. It was about Gibraltar. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. We're talking to Ray and Ben Dolan about your uncle, your brother, the late Joe Dolan. A lovely text coming in. Jerry and Kinsealy says, I went to the TV club for my first dance and met my first girlfriend. I'd asked a girl to dance and her reply was, ask my mate, I'm sweating. A gang of us used to dance to Joe Dolan and his band in the Olympia Ballroom off Camden Street back in the 80s. Brilliant times. And I saw Joe Dolan in the Glen Eagle in Killarney every New Year's Eve for about 15 years.
That's right, Jen. Yeah.
Hard work, Ben.
Oh, well.
Yeah, how many nights, like, what was the record for a year?
We used to, like, in the early days, while I was dancing,
yeah,
it was five nights a week, solid.
So what would you do? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, well, there'd be no Saturday.
No Saturday, right.
No, well, it could be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
Right.
But, like, it was later when they brought in dancing in the South on a Saturday.
Right.
You could get it probably in Dublin or in Belfast.
Why was that? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it's something to do with...
religion.
Something to do with the bishop.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah, you there know, you go. Yeah.
He didn't like dancing on a Saturday night.
So, and you were all over the place, all over the
place.
Well,
I mean, that time, while we were doing the dances, and then after Make Me an Island and that meeting, Joe began doing concerts,
right,
instead of the dances.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that he loved that. That kind of put him off the dance. He didn't like the dances then, mainly because the crowd didn't come in altogether.
Mm.
You know, when you go on
yes,
stage,
yes, yes, yeah,
you'd be
yeah,
on
yeah.
stage for an hour and the
yeah.
crowd would be dribbling in.
Yeah.
You know, now it come when they'd be all finished, they'd be shouting for more. And Joe used to say, I was here at 9 o'clock, where were ye? You know
what I mean? Well, you know, when he came to Kildare, which yeah. he did, mm-hmm. they had to, because the CY was there and the snooker hall was beside it. And there was yeah. such a demand for tickets, you know, for yeah. Joe Dolan, that they opened the snooker hall as well.
Yeah.
So they reckon there was 1,500 people. Like I don't know where the fire officer was. But anyway, yeah. it was yeah. people crammed in.
That's right, yeah.
And they came from all Rathangan, Edenderry, all sorts of places
yeah,
to see him. And we had two local lads as well in the band. There was a guy called Scott and a guy called Kelly in the band.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so bass player and guitar player.
That's it. That's
right,
yeah. There was a strong Kildare connection.
Yeah.
It's great to hear Ray and Ben on the show. Ray is great on his bus sessions. We'll talk to you about them in a minute. We enjoy his live broadcast every day. That's Irene in Johnstown Bridge, County Kildare. And great
Hello,
to hear Ben and Ray. Joe was a mighty singer and showman. We love the Drifters, says Frank and Kells. And a group of us from Wexford had a lovely visit to Ben's pub. Joe's blue car was outside. He was so young to die, but will live on in our hearts forever. It's Jane of Wexford. So he was your uncle. And speaking of cars, what happened in the 70s? Did he arrive up to your school in some sort of a contraption? Or
he came home from a tour in England. And at that stage, he had long hair and he had long coat on him and the whole lot. And we got up and Joe says, I'll bring you to school. I says, right. And we went out and here's this Jensen Interceptor car. Did you ever hear of a Jensen Interceptor?
No.
It's like a James Bond car, right?
Right.
And my mother had a Fiat at the time, so when you'd sit into the back of the Fiat, you could sit in really handy. And the Jensen was like 2 foot back, and then he took off like a rocket. And we were delivered to school in this machine. And you're thinking...
A Jetson Interceptor?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
It sounds fancy, yeah. Mm. What colour was it?
It was, I think it was green, was it? It was light green or blue.
It was a kind of a cross between green and brown. It was...
Yeah, metallic probably. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It had, do you know the way the Porsche have that round back body
yes.
on it? That's
yeah.
the type of body it had.
Right.
So this is what Joe's car. He met a guy in England and your man sold it to him and Joe says, I'll bring it home on the
ferry.
On the ferry.
Yeah.
And he had it for a few weeks, but I don't know what happened to the car. But
I know what happened to the car. The government turned up. Joe just sat in the car and drove it home.
Right.
I didn't tell anybody.
Oh, of course.
He was
yeah.
bringing it
yeah,
over. Yeah. So I mean, it was like he was smuggling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A fella turned up one day and Joe was having a haircut
right.
with the local fella in Mullingar. And this fella came in and he says, is that your car outside? Joe says, yeah. He says, give me the key.
Right.
Joe says, for what? He says, I'm from the...
the
authority.
Excise.
Joe handed him the key and your man got in and drove off the car.
That was the last he saw.
He never got it back. It went for about 3 years. It was locked up someplace.
Yes, yeah.
And we went through everyone that could help you.
Yeah.
From
local politicians.
Local politicians to solicitors to everybody. And nobody could get it back. And one day a letter arrived. If you want to take the car back, pick it up at such a time and you drive it onto the boat and back to
England. England, right?
And yeah. That's what he did. That's what he did do. Yeah, had to do. Yeah. But the car was after sitting outside for about 3 years in the dust.
A waste. Listen, you know, speaking of international travel, you toured to Russia. How did that happen?
Well, that was back doing a show in Dublin, a charity show.
Right.
And the Russian ambassador happened to be at it. But anyway, the short story is, a couple of days later, Seamus Casey is in the office and he got a call from this fella and he says, "I am the Russian ambassador." He says, would you like to tour in Russia? Yeah. And Seamus says, "Give me your number and I'll ring you back." He talked to somebody having him on. But he rang him back and he said he was the Russian ambassador. And he was at the show and he was surprised when he went back to Russia that people knew the name and some of the records.
Right.
You know. So he says, "Will we go?" So I says to Joe, "Russia, geez, yeah." "Oh yes, Joe, we'll go." But anyway, we went to Russia and we did Moscow, Leningrad, and a place called Kishinev. Before it split up.
Yeah.
But we went there and we used to have an interpreter with us and she used to go on to open the show.
Right.
Now, I mean, the shows were a beautiful place. I mean, in Leningrad, we did 11 shows with about 12,000 a show. It was an ice rink.
Right.
That was laid out for the concert.
You were rocking all stars.
Oh, serious altogether. But your woman used to come out and she used to introduce the band. She used to say something in Russia, and then she used to say, "Artisti, Estradi, Erlande, Jodolan." That was her little speech.
Yeah. What does it mean?
It meant, of course, you know what it means.
I mean, we
use that language all the time.
Irish artist Joe Dolan, and that's you were there. You were there.
No, well, it was probably artist.
Yeah,
artisti.
Yeah,
you know, sounded like artist anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Estradi, and that must be from where he came from.
Yeah,
you know, Estradi.
Yeah,
artisti Estradi.
Erlande.
What else? Erlande.
Yeah.
Well, that was for Ireland, you know, and then she said, Joe Dolan.
Joe Dolan, yeah, there you go. But great to hear Ben and Ray on your show. I used to go to the dance and cabaret shows, especially when he was in the Beehive.
Wow.
Where is that? Is that on
outside Mullingar?
Outside Mullingar, right. Refreshing to hear this interview. Great storytelling, says Tom and Wexford. Best wishes to the Dolan family from all in Cross Malina.
Yes.
Now, it is a family affair because it's the 15th anniversary tour, and it's how many you're on stage?
There is 9 of us on stage.
Right. And are you back singing, Ben?
I'm back. Well, I mean, I'm still not getting the big buzz.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I'm getting a great buzz.
Of course.
I absolutely love it.
You're channeling your inner Joe.
I tell you, I love it. Well, I sing a couple of songs, handy ones that Joe sang in his early days, you know.
What's your favourite one to sing?
And, well, I mean, probably Pretty Brown Eyes.
You know? I don't have that one lined up. You'll have to.
But anyway, you probably don't. But
do you like singing Goodbye Venice?
Goodbye Venice. Well, we all sing that.
Together.
That's at the end.
Right,
know?
Okay. Well, I'll save that then. Like, we play it at the end of this little chat.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. Yeah. Just, what else have I got? The brilliant thing, Joe sort of reinvented himself, and that Joe's 90. Remember that? He did
That's right, yeah.
An album of cover versions.
That's right.
And it just showed how versatile he was. I'm just going to play a bit of this. He covered David Bowie's Starman.
Yeah.
There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He's told us not to blow it, 'cause he knows it's all worthwhile. He told me, let the children lose it, let the children use it, let all the children do it.
Joe Dolan singing David Bowie, and Joe Dolan's brother Ben and his nephew Ray are with us. We'll take a quick commercial break, and don't worry, we'll tell them where you are, Ben. That's important. That's the only reason he's here. Tell them where we're playing. Tell them where we're playing, will you?
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Remembering Joe, the Joe Dolan Show with the Dolan family 15th anniversary tour is going around the country there next year, beginning of next year. UCH Limerick, 28th of January. Then in February, Tullamore Court Hotel, THT in Galway on the 11th of February. 18th, Glencairn Hotel, Castle Blaney. 25th of February, Cork Opera House. And then the 14th, which is Valentine's night. No, that's the 14th of April, the Landmark Hotel, Carrick and Shannon. And joedolan.com for more information. Now, what are you doing on the bus, Ray? You're singing or something. What are you doing?
So during the break that we took for 2 years, yeah. The tour bus, I got into my tour bus and started singing. And I called it the Bus Sessions.
Right.
And I put it up on my Facebook page, Ray Dolan from Mullingar in Mullingar. And every day we sang a song on the bus and we're going 977 days now. And I wasn't busy
enough. Without interruption. Right.
And I wasn't busy enough, so I started another show called the Bus, called at 12 o'clock, called the Shout Out Show, which ended up becoming the 12 Bongs at 12 o'clock. So at 12 o'clock we go bong, bong.
Right.
And then we interview people as well. We special guests on board the bus. So it's after taking on a whole life of its own. And
have you been on to the Guinness Book of World Records? It sounds like you've a record there in your hands.
Yeah, but it's very hard to get their attention.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
Totally. But we'll be a
have
thousand...
Have you tried email?
Very good. But on the 18th of December, we're up to our 1,000.
1,000, right.
Yeah.
Wow,
so if you want to come down, you can
we'll
join
give
us.
It a mention anyway that day.
Please
will you
do.
Let us know? Yeah. My wife and I were living in Moscow in 1993 and walking to the metro one cold January morning, minus 10 degrees, and Joe Dolan was blaring out from the kiosks more and more, says Tim. And so this, they were in Moscow, next thing out of the kiosk. That is a hands in the air one, isn't it, Ben?
It is,
it's a hands in the air, yeah, hands in the air.
And more and more, I need you only.
I saw Joe many times in the North Cork ballrooms, remembering the frenzy when slow songs came on, also the chicken dinner. Ah, yes. You have to have your raffle ticket to get the dinner in the supper room. Remember that?
That's right. Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. We love the Dolans here in Mayo. Great people. We have the tickets for the Castlebar show. Karen and Sandra have a great vocal range from Porrick in Mayo. I don't know if they have it or ye have it. I don't know which, but anyway. I first saw Joe Dolan in the Hibernian Ballroom in Fulham Broadway in the late 1960s. We were brought along by another student nurse from Mullingar who knew them from home. So there. Do you remember that? Where is that? In Fulham.
Fulham, London.
And Joe used to play in the Palm Club in Ballinasloe, a full house every time. Another Mullingar man, Tommy Swarbrick, used to be the nightclub manager. Great times and great memories. There's lovely texts, lovely memories. We're creating lovely memories for people here. I saw Joe a few times in the Arklow Bay Hotel and there was no show like a...
Joe show.
There you go.
And now there's no show... like a Joe show with the Dolan family show.
You have to retake that one, Ben. Back to drawing board.
I really held it all off by...
You should have rolled it down.
I had to go to no show like the Dolan family show.
He got it
up. It doesn't have a ring to it, Ben. I'm sorry. It doesn't have a ring to it. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
It's nationwide, you know. I mean, this show is nationwide.
Oh, listen, lads, I really enjoyed that. So thanks so much for coming in. Good luck with the tour. Yeah. At JoelDolan.com. And we'd say goodbye to you and goodbye to Venice. Ben, thanks very much. Ray, thanks very much.
It's a pleasure.
Goodbye,
thank
goodbye,
you
goodbye,
very
goodbye,
much.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye. That's the best crack I've had in a long time. Thanks to Ben and Ray Dolan. Yeah, great
the Ray
stuff.
Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gurmadga Court, thank you very much. Have a good weekend. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Excuse me. Loads of text there. I saw Joe a few times in the Arklow Bay Hotel and there was no show like a Joe show. I remember he was down playing one time and there was a charity car run on. He came over and was looking at the cars. People were getting photos with him. There was a Dutch couple there. They asked me who he was. I told them Joe Dolan. And the woman said, all excited, "Make me an island." Ah, singer, yes. Oh, they see. He was all over Europe. He was famous. That's Paul in Arklow. I live in Dublin, but now I remember seeing Joe Dolan in my hometown of Ballymena in the Flamingo Ballroom. These are blasts from the past. Loads there. Cloudland Ballroom, Rooski. Sang with Joe in Ennis, had a few games of golf with him over the years. That's Michael there. Now, it's time for our quiz. Get that button there. Two quizzers standing by. And we have a prize. And we say thanks very much this week to Dublin's Hard Rock Hotel. It's a two-night stay for two people and a bottle of bubbly on arrival. It's right smack in the middle of Dublin City Centre. Loads of things to do, obviously, in the city, and loads of things to do in the hotel. Memorabilia from Bowie, or even Bowie, Beyonce, Rolling Stones. You can have vinyl and a record player in your room. You can have an electric guitar and an amp in your room. Loads of things to do. And there's the Material Girl package as well. More information at hardrockhotel.com. Hardrockhotel.com. Hello, Alan Sherry.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. You're in Black Horse Avenue in Dublin.
I am indeed. I am, yeah.
How's your day going so far?
It's going good at the moment. I'm cooking a bit of dinner here, and it was great to get a call off from your researcher to let me know I'm on the radio.
Yeah, what are you cooking?
It's a stew, 4x2.
Ah, right, for tonight's stew. Do you use lamb or beef?
Well, lamb is a bit expensive, so it's beef at the moment.
Beef, right, yeah.
Beef, potatoes, onions, carrots. I take the onions halfway while I'm cooking it. I don't want like them to go too mushy. A bit of a crunch like the Chinese do.
Right. So you take them out and put them back in, is that it?
That's exactly it.
Very good. And you're in charge of Christmas dinner as well?
I suppose I am, that's it, yeah.
Right. Have you done it before? You have?
Oh, I have. We get an old dusting every Christmas, you know yourself.
You get a which?
An old dusting. Your only man.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said duck. You're dusting, yes. Yeah. He won't like to hear that. What would your karaoke song be, Alan?
I'd do something by Elvis, I suppose. The Wonder of You.
Nice one. You're up against Anne Murphy from Ballymore Eustace down the road in Kildare. How are you doing, Anne?
How are you going, Ray? All right.
Good, yeah. Are you going to be watching the toy show tonight?
Yep. Can't wait.
You and who?
I'm going into my friend's house in Naas to watch with her and her children and grandchildren.
Great. Brilliant. And do you have the treats sorted out and all that?
Yep, all sorted.
Yeah.
Not a calorie yet today, saving them all for tonight.
And what, this is the first time in a decade that you'll be watching it at a reasonable hour. Go on, explain that to me.
Yeah, for the last 5 years I would have been in Bali, and the 5 years previous to that in Australia.
Ah.
So this is the first time I've been home for Christmas in 10 years.
Right. And what did you do in Bali and Australia?
What did I do? As little as possible.
All right, okay, right, fair enough.
You can live very cheaply over there. It's very, so I did online work and I taught a bit of English and anything I could get my hands on.
Nice.
Just to get by. So.
Yeah, we were just saying earlier on that they'll be watching it in Sydney at 9:30 or could have been 8:30 on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what you would have been doing all those years when you're in Australia. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, well, where in Bali I would have been 8 hours ahead, so.
Right.
A little, so yeah.
And I believe you were at one of my discos years ago.
I was at several of them.
Really.
I can't believe you wouldn't even remember me. I was at several of them. You used to come to Cross and Passion College.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did.
Excited all the women there with and the socials.
Yes.
Listening to your music.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I remember it well. And
the lads coming from Clongo and
it.
Wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I don't think that happens anymore. So just to explain to people, so at the time, Cross and Passion was a boarding school, wasn't it? Some day pupils.
Yeah. Well, it was boarding and day pupils, yes. But it was an all-girls school.
Yes. And then you'd invite Clongos over for these sort of social stroke disco things.
Yes, that was it. It was all about socialising us,
Yeah.
Getting us ready for the world outside school.
Yeah, how did that work out for you?
Less said the better.
Oh, you're okay, right. Yeah, I remember that. Because I remember, I have a very vivid memory of playing, I must have got it that day or something like in the record shop, the new ABC single, I think it was Look Love or Shoot That Poison Arrow or something like that. So that'll tell you how long ago that was. Okay,
yeah.
Anne plays Alan. Three questions each. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. Go for a shorter clip and you get 2 points. And whoever has the most points is the winner. And if it's a draw on points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Good luck, Anne.
Right, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
Hi. It's 2012, so 10 years ago, and we're starting at the movies. Would you like a long clip or a short clip?
Short clip, please.
Okay. This 2012 movie sees Mark Wahlberg play a man whose childhood wish of bringing his bear to life comes true. Here's your short clip.
All right, let's see. How about we play a little game of hide and seek?
I love hide and seek.
Okay, now you count to 100 and then you try to find me, okay?
Go on. Ted, yeah, you said it there in the middle of the clip, I think, didn't you? Yeah, you get 2 points anyway, whenever you said it. It is Ted. Now, to you, Anne, 2012 again, at the movies, long or short?
Short.
Short as well, okay. 2012 saw the launch of a popular movie franchise where Jennifer Lawrence played a girl who took part in a televised competition, which saw teenagers from different districts fight to survive.
First, no fighting with the other tributes. You'll have plenty of time for that in the arena.
Well.
The Hunger Games?
It is The Hunger Games. Yes, good start from you both. 2 points there. Well done. Back to you, Alan. Music this time. Do you want a long clip or a short clip?
Short clip.
Okay, your line isn't the best now. We'll forge on. This song was a breakthrough hit for the artist, particularly in Ireland back in 2012. Can you name him or the song? Here we go.
Headed down south to the land of the pines. I'm on my way into North Carolina.
Well,
that one about the chocolate biscuit, Wagon Wheel.
Yes, very good. Wagon Wheel. Nathan Carter, 2 points there. And to you, Anne, music.
Yeah.
Do you want to go long or short?
I didn't actually hear there what Alan went. Did he go long? I better go short.
He went short. Yeah. He went short and he got 2 points. So he's short on four.
Sorry,
you're on two. Okay.
Ray, I'm standing out in the middle of a field here. And
right.
Because it's the only decent reception we have.
Oh, right. So you have to leave the house and go into the middle of a field. Right.
I am. I'm literally standing out looking at the Wicklow Mountains.
Right. Nice. It's a nice day, isn't it?
Yeah, come here. As I said, I've spent 10 years in the sun.
Right.
This isn't good for me.
Right. Lovely, lovely Wicklow air there. And you're probably...
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. Right. Okay, short clip. Here we go. Can you, American pop artist, for a hit from 2012, can you name her or the song?
Remember how that lasted for a day? I say, I hate you. We break up. You call me. I love you.
Who's that?
Taylor Swift.
It is. We are never getting back together,
oh my God,
Anne.
I can't
believe. 2 points.
Yeah.
So it's 4-all. Good scores. It's down to the wire. Alan, we're final question for you is on news and current affairs. Do you want to go long or short?
I go long.
You go long on this, right? Whoa, interesting. Interesting choice. In 2012, a Wicklow native won gold for Ireland at the London Olympics. Have a listen to the clip and see who can tell us who it was.
Clearly overwhelmed, the proud 26-year-old thanked everyone for their support and prayers by saying her medal belonged to them too.
It surpassed all my dreams, and without the support I'd be nothing, and I just want to thank everyone for all the prayers over the last week.
Well,
it's a box up on break.
Yeah.
Oh God, that's horrible.
Is
it Katie? Not Katie.
Katie
Taylor.
Yes, it is. Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah. So you got a point for that. You're on five. Now, Anne.
Yeah.
If you go short and get it right, you're today's winner. If you go long and get it right, we're into a tie-break situation. If you go either and don't get it right, Alan is today's winner. So what do you want to do?
I'm
going
to go long.
Okay.
Yeah. No, should I go short?
Where, I know you're in the middle of the field. You're going what?
Go short.
Short, okay. In 2012, the world awaited to see who the next US president would be. A certain county in Ireland were particularly interested in the winning candidate. Have a listen and see if you can name the president. Here's your short clip.
Name the president.
She'd love to bring her daughters back to Moneygall to visit their ancestral home as well.
No, sorry, Ray. Am I naming the president or the...
You're naming the president.
Oh, Barack Obama.
Yes, Barack Obama is the right answer.
My God.
There you go. You get 2 points for that. Today's winner. Alan, sorry about that, because you did really well. You answered all your questions correctly. But
sorry, Alan.
You went for the long clip at the end. Alan, we're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup, which is brand new. There's only 10 of them in the country. You're number 10. And good luck with the dinner tonight, and good luck with Christmas and all that, and lovely talking to you. See you, Alan. Bye.
Bye.
Anne, you can return into your house And you can also, when you get in there, look up hardrockhotel.com, because you're going to there with a person of your choice for a two-night stay, dinner on one of the evenings. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Oh, Jesus, thanks. Okay. I hope they're central heating.
Yeah, great talking to you, Anne. Enjoy the Late Late Choice show. See you now. Bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That sometimes happens. Somebody's about to say something and I've said goodbye and the fader's down, the ad's on. Anyway, Anne was about to say something, and what she was about to say was that her dad, John Murphy, age 95, was listening to the whole thing back in the house. She was out in the field, he was in the house, and she won, and she's off to the Hard Rock Cafe Hotel in Dublin. Now, Breed was on in tears here listening to Memories of Joe. Goodbye Venice is one of my favourite songs. Thank you. Sad tears or happy tears? Because I was in tears. Laughter with Ben there, very funny man. Would be great, or so great, to have dances back again. I'm in my 40s now and would love a night out like that. I wonder, would there be a demand for old style dances? Or they probably exist around the country still. And on karaoke, we always do Garth Brooks, Friends in Low Places. And somebody else says, we did River Deep Mountain High in a bar in Kerry. It was great crack. Yeah. That's true. Take a bit of that on this Friday afternoon. Ho!
When I was a little girl, I had a breakdown.
Mike and Tina Turner, River Deep Mountain High on RT Radio 1 on a Friday evening. Not just any Friday, the Friday of the Late Late Toy Show. Stephanie Roach, good afternoon.
Hello Ray, how are you?
Good, good to see you.
Thank you.
Now I'll get this out of the way. Virgin Media are taking over Turner's Cross to host a game for Ireland as football legends David Myler and you, Stephanie Roach, go head to head with Ireland's top esports athletes. So these are people who play football on computers. You play it in real life. You're taking on each other, and that's happening next Tuesday, and it's on Twitch streaming, and people can find out more by putting it into their Google machine and find out all about it. So
exactly.
That's that. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Great to see you. Congratulations. You're 17, got married.
We did. We got married in June, so yeah, it feels like a lifetime ago now, but yeah, we got our honeymoon in there 2 weeks, or last week, or back 2 days. We went away for 2 weeks.
Where'd you go?
We went to Dubai for 4 nights, and then we went down to Koh Samui. So we're only away for 2 weeks, but honestly, it felt like about a month, because it's been so long since we got to go away and have time just doing nothing, so... It felt like a long time, which was nice.
Are you childhood sweethearts?
We are. We're together since, what, we're 18, so 15 years together.
Right. Mm,
a long time. It took him a while to ask.
Yeah, so why now?
Well, I think, to be fair to Dean, I've been away playing football for a long time. You know, we've been kind of back and forth. We've had long distance. He's come to live in England with me. He came to America where it didn't work out. And then I've obviously been away.
He moved
away from Braid to come with me. Right. And then obviously things didn't work out, and it meant kind of his football was put on hold as well, which was disappointing for him too. But yeah, he supported me the whole way through. And obviously I came home then 2 years ago with COVID happening in Italy and all that happening, so the time was right then, because I was back home living with him, and he had a sustained period with me, and he thought I was okay, so so we went from there.
He had to wait for that sustained period.
He had to get used to having me there all the time before he actually made the breakthrough.
so the wedding was in June, but you're still playing, and then you went off on your honeymoon. Great.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you're still happy to.
Yes. it still feels like normal. It feels the same type of thing. We're only talking about on the way home on the plane. It's like a few times kind of went, oh, this is my boyfriend, Dean. I'm like, wait, we got married. He's my husband. Yeah. So it's kind of just everything's still the same way.
And did you find, because I was with Jenny for a long time before we got married, did you find that you do feel different after, you know, your wedding day?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it was just to have that moment of celebration, and like obviously to have all of our family there with us and have our day, because the both of us are kind of like, we don't usually like being the centre of attention, you know, that way. And obviously being together for so long and having that big kind of celebration that kind of sealed everything in place. Yeah. And obviously, as I said, we've been together so long that it doesn't really change, but definitely I think it feels, there's a different feel to being husband and wife than being boyfriend and girlfriend.
And have you got the video and the photos and all that done?
McCarthy done her video.
Oh, did she?
She was brilliant. Or her photo, should I say, sorry, and it's brilliant. So we actually still haven't picked them, so Jenny, I'll be in touch very soon with what we want to have.
10 years' time. That's
I'm telling you, I'm so bad. Like, I haven't got back to anybody. We had a great videographer as well from Richard Speedle as well. So we've kind of get that organised now as well. But
as I say, in 10 years' time.
Exactly, we'll get to it eventually.
So what a year for the women's football in Ireland.
Yeah, it's been brilliant, hasn't it? Like, I done the commentary on the game in Scotland, and like, honestly, I think I was close to tears. I had to kind of let George talk at certain points because I could just feel myself, particularly as the final whistle went, it was just to have that breakthrough after so many years of trying to get over the line. It was just it's fantastic. And not just for the girls playing. I think there's been so many people throughout the years who I've worked with, and I know I've put a lot of work in behind the scenes and put the work in when no one really cared. Do you know that way? I think those people will really appreciate the fact the girls have got there as well. So it was just a brilliant moment.
It was like written in the stars, like, you know, Amber coming on as a sub, her with that strong connection to Chrysler and the tragedy there. And it was just, and we were sitting at home. I have to admit, I wouldn't have known much about Amber. But the way she was talked about, it was like, you know, there were a good few injuries, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And Amber wouldn't have featured normally. Yeah. Is that the way it was?
Yeah, well, Amber's kind of had to be very patient within the squad, I'll have to say. Like, she's been part of the squad, but never really got much game time.
Yeah,
She took her moments. And as you say, what a moment.
Yeah, what a moment.
Yeah, no, she was brilliant. And she took the goal so well. And I feel like the whole day leading up to the match, I just had a good feeling. I felt like it was going to happen. And then throughout the game, I was like, Courtney saved the penalty, obviously. Yeah. And then when I seen Amber coming on, myself and George kind of looked at each other and was like, it just felt like she was going to score, and it was because of obviously everything that had happened and increased law and all that. So it was great to see her get the goal, and I was actually really happy for her because, as I said, she's had to be patient and probably hasn't got the game time that she's wanted to, but she took the goal so well.
Brilliant.
She took it,
like,
so well,
wasn't it?
It's a brilliant finish.
it was just, and we were at home, all of us watching it, we're just, is this actually happening? It was lovely.
I know, yeah it was brilliant.
So which means that Ireland are in the World Cup next year, and Australia and New Zealand. So Canada, Nigeria, Australia and us.
Yeah.
So we have one of the co-host nations, which is probably a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that in terms of the top seeds to get, I think they're probably one of the better ones. Like Australia.
As in they're the weaker ones.
Yeah, the better ones for us to get, not the better team. Yeah. Because we played them obviously last year and done quite well against them in Tala Stadium. Obviously, I know they had a couple of players missing and stuff, but I don't think we've anything to fear going into the tournament. I think all the hard work has been done getting there.
Yeah.
So the teams we've got, it's not the easiest group, but it's not the hardest group either. So I think the girls should definitely just go and express themselves, and hopefully they will.
And it like women's football, like 4 years on from the last World Cup, which was amazing, but next year is going to, I think, cement the progress in a real way, isn't it? I think particularly here in Ireland, because we have a team in the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. And I think even just the Euros in England recently, I think that kind of it showed people what could be done if there's a lot of effort put in. You've seen the sold out stadiums, Wembley sold out for the final, which was huge.
Well, they were in it, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, to be fair, a lot of the games had a lot of people in the stadiums, which is great to see. But I just think, for me now, I just hope, like, the momentum that's come with the women's team is we've got a lot of support behind them. And, like, I've obviously seen the men's team go to the 2002 World Cup, and probably a little bit further back when I was a bit younger, kind of in 90 and 94, the celebrations and the fan base and everybody getting behind the team. Like, it would be brilliant to see that happen next year for the women's team.
And I don't know about you, but, like, you know, when we were kids, when the Dublin Horse Show was on, we used to get elder branches, bring them out into the green, stick two of them in, get clothes pegs, stick them, and then put a thing across, and we were all pretending to be show jumpers.
Yeah.
No, but when there's some big sporting event.
Yeah, I was only saying earlier, when Wimbledon is on, you're playing tennis on there. We'd have a little chalk put across the ground to play tennis on. Yes, it. Yeah, so definitely, I think that will definitely.
And of course, when Katie won the gold medal, there was an uptake in boxing, and we're seeing the fruits of that now with all the medals we're winning in women's boxing. So this will only improve the game here,
exactly,
won't it?
It highlights the sport, I think, more than anything. I think it's not just important for young girls to see women's team going to the World Cup, it's also important for young boys to see that girls can actually go and do that as well, and they'll have female role models in football as well. For me, growing up, I only ever had male role models, really. I was a Man United fan and obviously followed the Irish women's team or men's team and had role models who I looked up to and that, but there was never really any kind of coverage on the women's team. And it wasn't until I went to kind of watch games that I started to learn about them. So for people to see the women's team on
and
national
is there a bit of it that's going, oh, funny, it was a few years earlier.
Do you know what, like, I've been on standby for the squads the whole last campaign. I obviously got back in for the Georgia game and then was in the stands for that game, which was disappointing, but you never know, stranger things have happened. We'll see what happens next season and hopefully I can put myself in there with a shout, but again, I'm not too sure how it's going
to
go.
Would you love to go to the World Cup playing as opposed to talking?
Look, I think anyone who knows me knows how much playing for Ireland means to me. Football is everything. It's been everything my whole career, and obviously the girls that have got us there, they'll know what it means to get to a World Cup. So to be able to play in it would be just be amazing. Honestly, it would be a dream come true. But
you're going to be involved anyway. I'm sure if you're not on the field, you'll be travelling with RTE or.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope to be involved in some way. And as I said, if I don't travel as a player, I'll still be number one supporter, because I know a lot of the girls in the squad, and I know. Yeah. the people, as I said, that put the work in over the years. So it's a huge moment for women's football.
Now, the World Cup is on at the moment, and it's a bit of a mess.
To say the least.
Yeah, but then you see Brazil last night, and you know why it's called the beautiful game. Yeah. And it's hard to argue with that when you watch it. But the backdrop and the context of it, and Qatar and the human rights issues and the homophobia and all that, where do you stand on it all? Or?
Well, I think, you know what, it's all been said at this point. So I think when I look at it, I think the biggest surprise to me is that Qatar got the World Cup in the first place with everything that's gone on there. Everybody knows the issues they have. I think in the lead up to the World Cup, the issues with the migrant workers and everything else that's gone on. I think the whole controversy over the One Love armband has been, it's ridiculous really, in my opinion. Like, I don't understand what wearing an armband is going to do. I know people are saying that's their country, you have to respect their laws and stuff, but you're inviting the world of football to your country. You have to be open to other people's beliefs to a certain extent as well, you know. So I think it's all been a bit crazy. It's been overshadowed by the fact that it's in Qatar. As you say, the most important thing is watching the beautiful game. And yeah, I think the Brazil game was great last night, in the second half particularly, seeing how well they played. But yeah, I think it's been slightly overshadowed by that. I'm at this stage sick of talking about all that, as much as I think it's important for them to use their platform and talk about the issues. But let's just enjoy the World Cup and enjoy the football.
Yeah, and you're doing punditry tomorrow night, are you? Or?
I'm on tomorrow and Sunday, yes. Right. So obviously, with being away, I missed the first week or so. So a lot of people have been asking me, am I doing, or have I been sacked? But no, I'm doing a few games.
I was on my honeymoon. I've been going out with this man 15 years and we got married in June.
We deserve 2 weeks away.
So Virgin Media are taking over Turner's Cross to host a game for Ireland, as football legends David Moyler and Stephanie Roach go head to head with computer game people, and that's next Tuesday, 5 o'clock on Twitch. Stephanie, great to see you. Congratulations.
Thanks
again,
me,
and we look forward to seeing you doing the punditry tomorrow night. That's it from us. We are back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Enjoy your weekend, and in particular the Late Late Toy Show. Whatever you're doing, do it safely. Good luck.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.